I'm going to invite you to turn your Bibles to see this afternoon to Matthew chapter 28. We're talking a little bit about missions, a little about obedience to the one that loves us. Matthew chapter 28. And as you turn there, I want to share with you a story from our time there in Africa. As you probably saw in our video, it's okay to walk around. You can all hear me still okay? Sound check in the back. All right. So as you probably saw in the video there, Burkina Faso is a very underdeveloped country, I guess is a good way of saying it. And one way where that's very manifest very clearly is the situation with the roads. We have a few paved roads over there. Most of our roads are dirt roads. Just kind of roads carved out of the path. And usually that works pretty well because, you know, it doesn't rain very often. It only gets rain about 3 months out of the year. So usually you're on these dirt roads and it's not a big deal. But I just thought it's really smart and help me. When you have a dirt road and it rains, what does that dirt road become?
Mud.
And as long as you stay in the main road, you're going to be okay, because that's usually packed down. It's okay. But the moment you get off the main road, what's going to happen? You're going to sink into the mud. So one Sunday night, we were driving home from a special activity. We took some of the youth from our church there, and we were on our way home, and it was raining very hard. So we get back to the church, and we drop the youth off, but there's this new young guy who had been at the church just for a few weeks, and he looked at me and said, "I don't want to walk home to rain. Will you please drive me home?" And I was like, you know what? I wanted to be nice. He was this new guy. So I was like, sure, I would love to drive you home. So it's just me and my wife, Levi, our oldest. He was about 6 months old. So we take him home. And he starts telling me where to go. And I realize that he lives in a part of the city that's kind of houses everywhere and it's not very well laid out. It's kind of a maze. But he's okay because he's telling me, you know, turn here, turn here, turn here. He's leading me through this maze of houses. And we finally get to his house. I drop him off. But then I realize something. I have no idea how to get home. And I just dropped off the only person that knows how to get me home. But it's okay because I have Google Maps. So I pull out my phone, and sure enough, there's the road. So I start following. Now, it's nighttime out, it's dark, it's raining hard, but I see the road, and I'm following on the road, and everything's okay. So I'm following. Charity's there, she's kind of telling me where to go, and we're going, and we get to a spot where it says, the map says that the road turns left. So I turn left. But the road didn't turn left, the road turned right.
Right.
And the second I turn left, front of our car, flops down to the mud. I'm like, great. Because, of course, how life goes, there's no one else around. There's not really any houses around. And all this kind of, like, run-down house. No one living here. And I'm like, what are we going to do? But it's okay, because, you know, I'm a big, strong guy. So I thought, I'd share you behind the wheel, put the car into reverse, and I'm going to get into the mud, and I'm going to lift the car up. While you're all laughing, I'm kind of offended right now. But it's true. So, she gets the car into reverse. I get down there into the mud. I grab the front of it. I count off. 1, 2, 3. I lift it up. She goes to reverse. And guess what? Nothing happened. Because I got covered in mud. And for about the next 30 minutes, I do everything I can to get myself unstuck. Because you can't really help people tell where, because I have no idea where we are. So I'm like, we're all by ourselves. So I'm trying. I'm lifting, I'm pushing, I'm putting stuff underneath the wheels. At this point, Levi, he had peed all over. He was crying. Charity was crying. I was even crying. And I'm like, I have no idea what to do. And I had been praying. You ever been in that situation where you prayed about something? Where you prayed, God, help me with this, but at the same time, you're trying my strength to do it as much as I can. But after about 30 minutes, I realized that there was nothing that I could do to get myself out of the situation. It was at that moment that I finally began to really pray. Say, God, I can't do this. I've tried the best I can. I've done everything I can, and nothing's working. I need your help. The moment I pray that, I look up and I see lights coming in 3 different directions. And 3 guys on these little motorcycles, those little motorcycles they drive there, they all converge on our spot at the same time, from different directions. Help us lift the car out of the mud, and one guy leads us back to the main road. What happened? When I quit pushing, when I quit trying, when I try to do it in my strength and I trust in Him, God, show me His power. Amen. Too often in life and ministry, what are we doing? We're down there in the mud and we're pushing. And we're trying. In our strength and our power, we're doing everything we can to fix the situation, to accomplish the job we have to do, to fix our marriages, to get care of our kids. We're trying in our strength. And also, it's just if we're pushing it, we're just stuck in mud. And I want us to look here in Matthew 28, and we're going to realize, I want us to realize something this afternoon, if we get it right. A very simple truth. We need Jesus. Very simple, but essential. We need Jesus. And here in Matthew 28, you have the Great Commission. It's a command given 5 times in the Bible to the church. Christ gives it before He returns to heaven. And here in Matthew 28, we're going to start reading in verse 18 and verse 19. Verse 19 and verse 20. The Bible says this. It's Christ talking to the disciples. He says this. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So you see the Great Commission, the command. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. We realize all around the world there are billions of people, and our God, He loves each and every one of them. And He wants them to be saved. And as a church, He's given us His truth. He's given us His gospel. He's given us the command to take this truth, to take the message of salvation to those that have never heard. But as you look at this command, there's a word there, verse 19, that's very important. Look again at verse 19. It says this. Go ye, notice it said. Therefore. Now there, Burkina, we speak French. We speak different tribal languages, so my English is a little rusty, okay? So I'm not going to go into some deep study on the word therefore. You see what the word therefore does? It connects a truth or fact with another truth, another fact, or another command. I'll give you an example. You could say, I didn't sleep well last night, therefore I am tired. See how it works? Pretty simple. Or you could say, we've been back here in America now for several months, eating good American food, therefore, I'm getting fat. It's not a good thing. I don't know what we're going to do about that. You see how it works? So anytime the Bible, we see the word therefore, we need to really pay attention to what's being said around it to realize what this command or what this truth is hinged upon. And let's look now at verse 19, or verse 18. And we see what this truth, what this command is hinged on. Look what it says here, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. Do you realize the command to go is not hinged on what we can do? It's not hinged on our talents or our abilities or how well we can speak or how well we can learn a language or how well we can build a church. No, the command to go is based on the fact that all power and all authority belongs to Jesus Christ. Amen. And when He commands us to go, He promises us that He's going to go with us. And He's going to help us. It's not based on what I can do. It's based on what He can do through my obedience. And too often in life, maybe I'm the only one here, so I'll just speak honestly, too often in my life, in my ministry, you know what I do? I push that car. I try as hard as I can, hoping that maybe, just maybe, if I try hard enough, it'll work. What I really need to do is get out on my knees and say, Lord, I need you. I think we're going to get back to this. I guess we'll go a little tangent here, but a verse that God used a lot in my life, in regards to this, is Psalms 127, where it says, unless the Lord build a house, what's it say? They labor in vain. Not building. If you take out the word house, you can replace that with anything else.
Unless the Lord builds a family, builds a marriage. Unless the Lord builds a church. Unless the Lord does it. Unless the Lord is in it, it's in vain.
Verse 2 says, they rise up early. They stay up late. They taste the bread of sorrows. What's it saying? I can work harder than anyone. I can be the first one out of bed working. I can be the last one in bed. I can work harder and suffer more than anyone else. But if God's not in it, it's vain. I need Jesus. Mother's Day is a great time to realize that, isn't it? I thank you, mothers. I thank my mother. I thank my wife for being an amazing mother. I don't know how you all do it sometimes. But we need Jesus. Mothers need Jesus. Fathers need Jesus. Pastors need Jesus. We need Him. And as we go, let's go back to Matthew 28. And as we go throughout life, as we live in obedience to Him, whether you're a mother, whether you're a father, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a businessman, no matter what, if you're a teacher, as we live in obedience to Him, we need to realize that the only way we're going to have God's power in our lives, the only way we're going to have victory through Him, is if we live in obedience to what He's called us to do. We look here in verse 19 and we see the command. It's a three-pronged command. The first part is, go. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations. We go and we preach Christ. We tell them about Calvary. We tell them about what Christ did for us. The second part, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And the third part, as we mentioned, is the part of teaching them, discipleship, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And here's the last part I want us to look at before we move on. It says this, the promise. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We left for the field in 2016. We've been married for a few years, and Charity was pregnant with our first son, Levi. You're 5 months pregnant when we left for the field? We were getting to leave to go to Africa. My wife was 5 months pregnant. And a lot of people looked at us and said, you guys are crazy. And maybe we were, I don't know. But they're like, can children be born in Africa? And I was kind of like, well, I'm pretty sure children are born in Africa all the time. But they're like, why are you going? What are you doing? Why would you do this? It wasn't necessarily that we were planning to go to Africa, but it's just how God worked things out. It was our time to go. And I'll be honest, if I had to say I'm going in my own strength, I couldn't do it. If I had to say I'm going because I have the power, I couldn't do it. But do you know why we could go? Because He gave us a promise that, lo, I am with you. No matter where you are. No matter what He's called you to do, no matter what you have to face, Christ is with you to strengthen you, to help you, and to give you victory. I want to turn over to Luke chapter 5. And that's kind of an introduction, you could say, but don't worry. It was a nice short introduction. It was what time we're supposed to be done. Oh my goodness. All right, you know what? You sure? All right, well, let's just look real fast. I just looked at the time. I'm going to get myself in trouble here. I said, that's a short introduction. Oh, Lord, goodness, it's time to stop. But I want to pray. Now, I just want to give you a few thoughts out of Luke chapter 5. Father, I do love you. And Lord, my desire, my heart today, Lord, just help us realize that as we live in obedience to you, as we do what you call us to do, Lord, that you will work in our hearts and in our lives. You will help us to see your power. And Lord, you will help us to have victory. And I love you and I thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So again, Luke chapter 5. And as we talked about obedience, we talked about work, the work that God's called us to do. Let's look here in Luke 5. And we see what happens when we obey. So here Christ is. He's on the seaside and he's teaching the people. And as he's teaching the people, they get a pressing upon him. He doesn't have room to teach. He looks over and he sees some of his friends, Peter, James, and John, and they're out fishing. And they just got in from fishing. They're washing up their nets, and Jesus walks up to them and he says, all right, guys, I want to go to your boat. You're going to cast out a little ways and I'm going to teach the people. So they say, sure, no problem. You can do that. So Jesus gets into Peter's boat and Peter casts out. And Jesus begins to teach. And let's start reading here in Luke chapter 5. And we'll start reading verse number 3. The Bible says, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drought. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. So here they are. Jesus gets into Peter's boat. He starts teaching the people. And then he gets done. And then Jesus looks over at Peter. He says, all right, Peter, you're going to cast out your boat a little bit further. And I want you to throw in your nets. And you are going to catch a lot of fish. Peter looks at Jesus, and he's kind of confused, and he says, Jesus, I'm a fisherman. Peter, not me. I don't know nothing about fishing. But he's like, Jesus, I'm a fisherman. I've just worked all night long. I've just hit all the best fishing spots. I just used all the best techniques. Jesus, I've done everything I could, and I've caught nothing. And in Peter's mind, it made absolutely no sense for him to do what Jesus told him to do.
Amen.
It made no sense. He wasn't going to catch anything. He had already tried. It wasn't going to work. He had no idea. I want to talk about what Peter says to Jesus. Look what he says. He says this. Nevertheless. He said, here, Jesus, I know it doesn't make sense. I don't know what you're doing. But then he says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will cast out the net. He says, Jesus, I don't know what you're doing. It doesn't make sense to me. It goes against what anyone else is telling me to do. It goes against what I think might even be the right thing. What makes sense to me. Jesus, it makes no sense, but I know this is what you want me to do. And Jesus, at your word, I will obey. And our faith is truly tried when we obey when it makes no sense. If I want to do it, it's easy to obey, isn't it? If I call my kids out, and say, hey kids, come to the go to the garage, we're going to get ice cream. They're going to come running, aren't they? They just want to get ice cream, right? But if I say, hey kids, come to the garage, we're going to clean the garage, you're not going to run as fast, are you? What happened? The command is hard. And when it makes sense for us to do what we're to obey, when it makes sense for us to do what we're supposed to do, yeah, it's easy. But when it makes no sense, and we don't know what God's doing, that's when it requires true faith. In verse 6, Peter says, Peter, cast out your net. He says, it makes no sense. I don't know what you're going to do. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will cast out the net. This afternoon, I want to ask you, what is God calling you to do? What step of obedience is right in front of you today? For each and every one of us, it's different. We're not all called to be missionaries in Africa. We're not all called to be pastors. We're not all called to do the same thing. The church is a body. Each one of us has different responsibilities and different challenges. We're not all called to do the same thing. But each and every one of us, we are called today, right now, to take a step of obedience. I don't know what it is for you. But here's what I do know. That if God calls you to do it, He's going to give you the grace to accomplish that task. Look what he says. So Peter says, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. You see the obedience. He says, I don't know what I'm going to do. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will cast out the net. In verse 6, it says this. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships,
so that they began to sing. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes that they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners of Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Peter says, "All right, Jesus, I don't know what you're doing. This makes no sense to me, but I'll obey." And he throws out the net. When he threw out the net, they cast out a multitude of fish. When he obeyed, God worked. When he did what he was supposed to do, God showed his power. Think a lot about this story. So not only did Peter see Christ's power through his obedience, but all of those around him also saw his power. It says there that James and John, verse 6, or in verse 9, "For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fish which they had taken." Not only did Peter realize who Jesus was, not only did Peter see his power, but also so did James, and so did John, and so did Andrew, so did everyone else all around him. One of the amazing things is, when I obey my Lord, and I do what he's called me to do, when I take that step of obedience, when I do what I'm told to do, even when it's hard, when God's power is shown through me, not only will it build my faith, and who else is faithful with him? It will build the faith of those two little boys sitting right back there. Because they're going to see God's power through their father. And they're going to realize that their father serves a God who can work. And we have Mother's Day. There are mothers here. And your children are watching you. They're watching you with little eyes to see how your God's going to work. How your God's going to move. See the power of your God in your life. And through our obedience, we can grow the faith of our children. We can grow the faith of our families. We can grow the faith of our communities. We can grow the faith of others when they see the power of Christ through me. So we saw the obedience. We saw the power of the very last thing. We see the victory. And their victory isn't catching a lot of fish. Honestly, Jesus didn't care about Peter catching a lot of fish. Do you know what the victory was? Here's the victory. And verse number 8. When Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." The victory wasn't that Peter caught a lot of fish. The victory was that for the first time in his life, Peter realized who he was. And how great Jesus is. Peter realized that Jesus was more than just a man, was more than just a prophet. He realized that Jesus was the Son of God who had the power and the authority over creation. And when Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees. He said, "Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man." And I love what Jesus said, because it was true. Peter was a sinful man. Jesus is the creator. Peter had no right and no business to be in the presence of his Lord, of the Lord. But when Peter said, "Depart from me," what did Jesus say? He said, "No, Peter, I want you to follow me. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." When Peter says, "Lord, I'm not worthy," Jesus said, "Yep, you're not. But I still want to use your life. I want to draw you closer to me. I want you to walk with me so that I can use your life to accomplish great things." The very last verse said here is this. It says, "And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." Now, I'm not a fisherman. I don't, for me, forsaking a bunch of fish in a boat doesn't mean that much, but for them, that was a pretty big sacrifice. They were leaving behind a secure future. They're leaving behind wealth. They're leaving behind security. They're leaving behind family. They're leaving behind so many things. But they left all of that behind so that they could obey Jesus so they could follow him. And what is Jesus calling you to do? What steps of obedience?
There in Burkina, we mentioned about being a Muslim majority country. Most of the people are very nominal Muslims. You know, they'll take their religion very seriously. But there are the group of the very hardcore radical Muslims. And usually you can tell who they are based on how they're dressed. The men, or the women wear the full burqas or just little eye slots. The men usually have these big bushy beards and a very specific outfit that they wear. And when you're out evangelizing, you're giving out tracts, inviting people to come to church, and you see one of these radical Muslims walking towards you, what do you think the flesh wants to do? Run, right? Or stop and tie my shoe, or send them to the store and buy some water until they walk past me. That's what the flesh wants to do. But what are we commanded to do? Commanded to preach the gospel to those that look like us? To those that are going to be friendly? We're commanded to preach the gospel to every creature. The flesh doesn't want to do it. The flesh says no, but obedience says no. You give the gospel. And one Sunday we were having church, kind of said, like, this one was here, the back door was there, and as I was preaching, one of these radical Muslim men were walking into our church. And I'll be honest, my heart started to beat a little fast, because I'm like, oh boy, what's about to happen? Maybe he's mad because his wife and his child are here at church. Maybe he's mad because, you know, we're just having church, we had the terrorism, I have no idea what's about to happen, but I'm like, Lord, this is in your hands. When he comes in, he sits down, and he just kind of starts staring at me, and I finished preaching, we give the invitation, and he's still just sitting there. I close down the service, I start working my way back there towards him, greeting people, and I finally make it back there to him. I shake his hand, do the basic greetings, and I pretty much say, what in the world are you doing here, you know? Like, why are you here? And when I asked him that, he reached into his pocket. He pulled one of the tracts from the church, and he said, somebody gave this to me, and I want to know how Jesus can be my Savior. What happened? Somebody, it wasn't even, I don't even know who gave the track, but someone was just crazy enough to believe that if they obeyed, God's power would work in his life, and Jesus Christ would be glorified. Same thing happened in Luke 5. Same thing that happened right there. The same thing that God wants to do in your life if you take a step of obedience and follow him. God wants to work. Are we willing to follow him and be fishers of men? Let's pray. Lord, I love you and I thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and our lives. And Lord, sometimes we don't know what you're doing. Sometimes, Lord, we work all the night long and we catch nothing. Sometimes, Lord, we struggle and we try. We do everything we can. We just don't see the fruit. We don't see what you're doing. We don't know what you're doing. But, Lord, we know that we can have confidence in your promise, in your words, and in your power. And, Lord, we know that as we work and as we strive for you, as we plow for you, as we pray, as we seek you, we can have faith in you and in your promises. And, Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, as we just speak about these things, if maybe you're working someone's heart. Maybe there's someone, Lord, here right now that has a step of obedience in their life that they know that you want them to take. But it's hard. Lord, I pray that you give them the courage and the faith to get out of the boat, to throw out their net, to follow you, and to do what you're calling them to do. And Lord, for each of us, help us, Lord, to be fishers of men, to share the gospel, to share your truths, and allow your power to work through us, not only so that we might believe more, but so that others may believe. Lord, I love you and I thank you for all that you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor.